This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, as well as my Instagram Live. Here for you, here for your pets. You know the drill. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time to do it. So anyway, I see, oh, Jeff, how you doing? So we're going back to Cabo this week, believe it or not. So anyway, happy Super Bowl Sunday. So, I mean, I don't know how many football fans are out there, but it's a big day. I'm, you know, a lot of parties. I'm going to be having one myself and looking forward to it. You know, love the football, love the game. Sadly, my Rams aren't there. I'm just curious to know, who do you like today? I mean, do you want to go with the perennial favorite, who is already, this could be a three-peat close to it, right? Or do you want the underdog? I really don't care because I'm not a fan of either one necessarily, but I want the new team to have a chance, have a crack at it. And I look at it this way. Maybe it's crazy, but Philadelphia beat the Rams. That was a hell of a good game. And if it wasn't the snow, I think the Rams could have pulled it out. They were driving at the end. They could have gotten there and done it. They didn't. So if the team that beats your team ends up winning the whole thing, then you feel better about it. So look, at least we came close to beating them. And you don't feel so badly. If a loser beats you, then, you know, you're really a loser. So I know maybe it's a crazy logic, but it works for me. And it's sort of how I'm rationalizing this. B, how you doing this morning? So Eni, how are you? So anyway, I'm just curious. Just a thumbs up. Tell me who you like. Just type it in. Who you like, who you think is going to win. I'm in a football pool. So I know, and it's so random. It's the numbers are random. The boxes you get are just random. You know, it used to be that you could join, and depending on how fast you got there, you could pick which box and you see the numbers. The way I do it is put the numbers in and a blank slate. So now the numbers are set in stone, and then we put people in alphabetically. And it can be so randomly, however it works. So I'll tell you, I think it's a fair way to do it. And yeah, Bethany, go Eagles. Yeah, I'm the same way. Today, I'm an Eagles fan. Well, if they're playing the Rams, I'm a Rams fan. But it was a close game. That was a really good game. What they did to the Washington is they demolished them. And this is after Washington beat the Lions. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know, in this game, you never know. Things could just happen any way, shape, or form. And anyway, so any questions? Let's. I have some things I want to talk about. I want to talk pica. Pica. If you don't know what it is, look it up in the next couple of minutes. And it's something, the reason why I want to bring it up today is I had two cases this week. One did not fare well. The other one did fare very well. And it's something that's very, very common. And people don't know what it is and why they do it. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know why they do it. So if I don't get any questions, we'll talk about pica sooner, but I want you to mull on that for a little bit and let's go ahead and talk about some questions. And I'm saying, no questions yet. Come on. So there's got to be some questions here. So I'll give you some things that I wanted to talk about. You know, we always get this thing. A lot of people are traveling. They're preparing for some reason. A lot of international travel now. Maybe they just want to get out of the U.S. I don't know if I blame them, but a lot of international health certificates we're doing. And we're faced with a lot of things that a lot of times they want certain vaccines. For example, a lot of countries that will accept a rabies shot from us, but not a 3-year. So that means you have to revaccinate them in a year. But if it's been over a year since their last vaccine, then it could be a problem. So it's crazy. You might have to give a vaccine because they want it every year. So you may have to give a vaccine and then wait 21 days to 30 days and give it another one, which is so insane. So, I mean, they always have to get their poop together to make sure this is, you know, everyone's on the same page. Like some require leptospirosis, some require obviously intestinal parasites. So the bottom line is this, if you are planning any kind of international travel, don't wait until 3 weeks before your flight. Say, oh, by the way, I need a health certificate. No, because these have to go through the USDA. A lot of times, not just an accredited veterinarian, of which I am, but it has to also be co-signed, countersigned by the USDA veterinarian in the area. And there's only one of those. So now, even though some of these can now be done virtually, And you can do it all online. And they have to send you the certificates. So you have to bring a self-addressed stamped envelope with the return address, not yours, but the hospital, because in case it has to come somewhere, it's going to come to the hospital. It's crazy. And some countries that require a rabies titer, oh my God, then you have to give, you have to give yourself, I tell people 3 or 4 months notice, because sometimes getting the titer result back. Now, if it was from Kansas State, the Diagnostic Veterinary Laboratory at Kansas State, it could take up to 3 or 4 weeks just to get the result. Now, Auburn just opened up their facility, which is also sanctioned by the USDA, and they don't have that long waiting list. I remember somebody asked if they could get expedited. So they wrote to say, is there a fee that we can give to get expedited? And the response was basically, look, lady, I don't care if you're the Queen of England, you're not getting it any faster. So and this, by the way, when England even needed to have rabies titers. Now, since they joined the EU and they're out of the EU, so it went too long with they couldn't do the rabies titer because no one else in the EU had it. So they said, what the heck? So anyway, they don't require it anymore. But countries like Japan, like Australia and New Zealand, impossible. For that one, you got to give yourself almost a year to prepare. It is nuts what they require. Israel now requires a titer. So when these countries require rabies titers, you have to really talk to your veterinarian, go online, go to the USDA APHIS website. That's USDA-APHIS. That's the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. It's under the USDA and find out what these countries need specifically and prepare accordingly. So, okay, let's see if I got any questions coming in. Have the case of lepto calmed down? Yes. So by the way, so as we know, Eni, our retest of lepto was good. Negative. But, you know, we have seen a drop. I think it was a scare a few years back. And unfortunately, one of yours did get the lepto treated. And I just talked to somebody else actually the other day whose dog also at that time got lepto, also is cured, which is good. So I have not seen any more lepto cases. You know, it's still really a lifestyle. If you are going to parks, going to canyons, hiking, your dogs are going with those hikes with, you know, a dog walker, any of the mountainous areas, anywhere where these animals hang out, deer, foxes, coyotes, any of the rodents, so, you know, even possums, skunks, I mean, raccoons, all of them, they can carry lepto. What they do is then they defecate and they urinate in these streams and water, areas of water. Then the dogs on their hikes, they're going in, they're either wading in the streams, they're drinking the water from the streams. That's how they get the lepto. We didn't have to worry about it here in LA, but there were wild rats and they were animals that were hanging out in the Santa Monica parks were getting lepto. We have not had any cases. So I'm back to, it's a lifestyle. I do not vaccinate my own dogs for lepto. I have 5, but they don't go to these places. Now, do we see occasional raccoons and skunks in our neighborhood? Yes, we do. I'm not worried and we haven't had any cases. I'm more concerned for cats about the H5N1 avian influenza virus. That one is becoming a problem. And we know that's affecting cats, even big cats. Now, the only thing that may be an issue, and I'm throwing it out there because we just don't know enough about it yet, but because of the fires in the Palisades, Malibu Mountains, et cetera, a lot of those wild animals have come down. There've been sightings of all sorts of deer and mountain lions, not to mention the skunks and the squirrels and possums. So it could be that if they were carrying the lepto and now they're coming down to our areas and defecating, urinating on grasses and things like that, could your routine happy dog that only goes in the neighborhood, takes a walk up and down the streets, a couple of blocks that way, a couple of this way, and could they get it? I guess the answer is it's a possibility. So my concern about the lepto is, as many of you know, whose dogs have gotten the lepto vaccine, of all the vaccines, even though they claim that it's improved, it's not giving the same reaction, but those dogs that really feel like crap after the vaccine, the lepto is usually the culprit. So you have to weigh all the odds. Talk to your veterinarian. I recommend is just talk to other people in your area and are they using lepto as a routine vaccine? It's a once a year. If it's the first time, you got to give it twice, a month apart, and then it's once a year. You know, I don't think there is a single right answer. It's whatever makes you comfortable. If you think there is a possible risk, then get the vaccine. I mean, it is effective. It is effective vaccine, but it does hurt them a little bit when they get it. For those of you new out here, just know, I love answering your questions. So now is the time to ask. And let's see, with no other questions, I'm going to go. It's that time going into our break, you know, except for two of you here saying, go Eagles. Hey, come on. Tell me what you like. Edie, what do you like? Who do you like today? Edie, I know you're a football fan. I wonder if Eagle Spirit LA, unless you're talking about the California Golden Eagle, you might be an Eagles fan too. All right, I'll tell you what. It is quarter past the hour. I'm getting the dirty looks from Mark, our producer. Time for our commercial break. Let's take the commercial break. So, Chiefs for the historic 3 in a row. Okay, that's good. That's good. Edie doesn't like the NFL. Okay. All right, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, with Janice, the Eagles. I'm with you today, the Eagles. Look, the Chiefs are great. Mahomes is phenomenal. But come on, give somebody else a chance. But for you really football fans, has a three-peat ever been done? I don't know. Maybe way, way back. But I think in the modern era, I don't know if we've had a three-peat. But if we have, oh, yes, as a Pats fan. Now, the Pats, have they had a three-peat? I don't know. That's a good question. I know they've won a ton. But the question is, did they ever three-peat? Never three in a row. Thanks, Jeff. So, all right, you're back after these short messages. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back. We're talking about a 17-year-old Jack Russell Terrier that had some kidney liver values rechecked, but her pancreas values are high now, too. What could this be? So it could be due to those because they're in close proximity. So the pancreas sits up against the liver. So if there's a lot of liver enzyme activity, it could be causing inflammation in the pancreas, causing pancreatitis. However, usually, in general terms, a pancreatitis happens from eating too much fatty foods. And a dog that gets into the garbage, for example, and gets all the fatty foods left over on a bone or eats the bone marrow could end up with pancreatitis. But now there are just too many tests out there. It's called the PSL, all right? And that's pancreatic-specific lipase. There's the CPL, which is a much better test. I'm not happy with the PSL. I'll give a little history behind it. The lab that many of us use, myself included, all right, is Antech. When IDEX came out with the CPL, CPL is canine pancreatic lipase, is a much better test the way it's done. Well, it turns out that when they came out with it and the owners of that test, it was, I think, originated at Texas A&M University, a very well-known GI specialist, pancreatic specialist on faculty there. And it was basically done for IDEX in a sense. So IDEX owned it. A&M owned it. IDEX owned it as the only lab that can do that test. So what happened was now Antech, it's just a BS, competition. They had to come out with their version of a very specialized test. It's not the same, and it's really not as accurate. I have so many cases of elevated PSL levels. Amylase is normal and in a totally normally functioning dog. No symptoms whatsoever. I just don't trust it. So I got this SNAP CPL. It's an in-house CPL. It's better than the PSL. Maybe not as good as a lab, but I don't use that IDEX lab. I could, but for me, the SNAP CPL is fine. Now, so what I always link, when I see an elevated PSL with other things being normal, I ask the first, how is the pet acting? Is the pet moping around? Is the pet doing a lot of vomiting? Does the pet have a very tender abdomen? All symptoms of an acute, real pancreatitis. So I'm not so sure, just based on that one test, depending on who's now, if it is a CPL, and coupled with signs of pancreatitis, then it's real. Then we have to treat the pancreatitis as well. And that's just fluids. Now, other things, just so you know, that the pancreatitis that we used to treat with keeping them no food, now we're learning that you want to feed them. So you have to give them antiemetics and you try to get food in their systems, small amounts, frequently as you can, but just small amounts and just use medication to stop the vomiting, but it turns out they do need to eat to help beat the pancreas. Of course, not fatty foods, but to beat the pancreatitis. So speak to your veterinarian. You know, it's funny, things change every year. And Carly Clapton, why dogs dying of cancer so young? Well, they're getting cancer so young. It's a great question. We are what we eat. Is it eating or is there toxins in the environment? What is the case? Is it genetic? How about the dog's parents? So, and sometimes when you're doing rescues, you don't know what they are. So it's not an easy question to answer because we don't have all the answers. We don't know what the links are to that particular cancer. Is this dog in a household where people are smoking? Is the dog getting a hold of bad foods on a regular basis? Are they exposed to carcinogens in the environment? Or are we just learning more about them? Are we seeing more? Are we able to test for more? And when you say so young, how young? I mean, I remember, this is 40 years ago, more than that. My first case in vet school, 45 years ago, I was going through one of my cancer rotations and a 9-month-old golden retriever came in with a huge mass on his face, fibrosarcoma, really nothing. You couldn't remove it. It was involving the bone, the muscle, and ultimately this poor guy, it's a 9-month-old puppy. So I speak once every year or so, a couple of times a year, maybe at Children's Hospital in LA about diseases that can affect both dogs and people. And interestingly, look at these kids. Look at talk about City of Hope. How many young kids, babies are born with cancer? So are we really just learning more about it or are we seeing more? And the answer to that is, I don't know. But it wouldn't be surprise me if we're seeing more. But I know in older dogs, it's because dogs are living longer. Because of modern advances in veterinary medicine, they are living longer. So of course, we're going to see more cancer as they're getting older. So it's a tough one. Look, my 15-year-old Labrador shows up, my last one, with a terrible, terrible mast cell tumor. We're going to put it to sleep. I said, you know what? We're going to put him to sleep this week. Let me try. Let's see what I can do. So anyway, knocked him out, took his bloods. His bloods were perfect. So that's not only that, not every cancer is going to show up on a blood test. You have to know that. People always say to me, well, how could it be cancer? We just did bloods. Unless it's a bloodborne cancer, unless it's a leukemia or maybe a lymphoma that has hit the bloodstream also, blood tests can be totally normal unless it's hitting an organ and affecting that organ. And then you research, why are these liver enzymes so high, right? How many times do we see a hemangiosarcoma of a pancreas? Guess what? The pancreas doesn't emit any enzymes. So we can't tell by just doing a blood test whether there's something like that. Well, how do we know sometimes? It's a little too late because it's wait till the tumor ruptures and these dogs start bleeding. They get a belly full of blood. They come in weak and anemic and then, we put the ultrasound probe, bleeding in the abdomen. That is 100% reason to go in like today. When you have a dog coming in with a hemoabdomen, blood in the belly, you do not wait, oh, let's see how things go. No, no. That dog is staying today. We're cutting it today and see what we can do. Many times, most of the time, it is a bleeding mass of the spleen, hopefully just the spleen, and we can remove the spleen and help them. So if it's getting smaller, let me see, my vet said it would keep an eye on it. Let me see, I missed the first one. My dog, it's a small hardball lump. Ah, okay. So small hardball lump in a dog that's getting smaller and keep an eye on it. A couple of things we can do. First of all, they can aspirate it. Secondly, do the HT Vista, which is what I love. That is a device. But I will tell you, if it's a young dog, when was the last vaccine? If the last vaccine was within the last 3 or 4 months and this mass is getting smaller, I'd say one of the high things on my list is a vaccine reaction. And it could happen. It's delayed. And if it was a lipoma, it wouldn't be getting smaller. If anything, be bigger or staying the same. If it's a cyst, it wouldn't be getting smaller. So again, it'd be bigger. It would rupture, et cetera. So I think that if there was a recent vaccine, I would look at this most likely as a vaccine reaction and just wait it out. They could do a cytology if they're lucky enough to get a representative sample. And yes, it could be. So anyway, I would just keep an eye on it, or at the very most right now, do just a cytology. Okay. We have a 7-year-old Jack Russell that removed cancer from his neck. Should we keep checking him every 4 months, doing an ultrasound and blood work? Well, first of all, if it was removed and it was a cancer, what type of cancer? Just by knowing the type of cancer, if it was a cancer that it's an aggressive cancer that has a high likelihood of metastases, then the answer is yes. You got to check the lungs. You got to check around, see if you can feel any regrowth in the area. I'm dealing with a dog right now that had an adenocarcinoma. I removed the thyroid gland. That area is smooth as can be. It was just in, but the dog's not acting right now. ADR, as we say, ain't doing right. So they're coming in. We're going to start looking for the liver. We're looking at the lungs. Have we already started to metastasize? And unfortunately, adenocarcinomas are highly metastatic, and they have what's called a high metastatic potential. So even though the local area where we took the mass, gone. But, you know, again, it could spread. Yeah, I think it's vaccine related. I agree. Dogs are dying younger, even though foods are better, care is better, science is better, yet dogs are. Yes. And again, I wish I had answers to that. And, you know, one of the things when I think I mentioned this before, that one of my mentors from vet school, but it was there before the last vaccine. Well, still could have been. That's interesting. And it's getting smaller. I would either, with the next dental, I'd remove it or at least do a cytology, try to get a sample of it and see what it is. Anyway, my mentor, because I was an obnoxious hotshot in vet school, and she told me, just remember, Jeff, you got to keep on things because things are always changing. But there's so much relearn. She went on, after being board certified in internal medicine, did another residency in oncology, and then double boarded. Then, just for fun, went to Stanford for a PhD in comparative oncology. And after her PhD, I saw her and I said, so Barbara Kitts, I said, Barb, tell me, what was the take home from your PhD? She goes, you know, the take home was how much we don't know about cancer. And, you know, that struck me because we don't know. If you notice that the treatments now are going, instead of heavy duty chemicals to try to beat the cancer, stop the cancer, slow the cancer, now we're using immunotherapy. Let's teach the body to kill the cancer. So these are all things that we have to know. Turkey tail mushroom supplement, that I'm not sure, yes, because that I'm not familiar with it. So I can't tell you, but I'm not sure. I can read up on a turkey tail. Send me some information on it and I'll check it out. Okay, real quick. Of course, everyone's asked me all these questions. Much more interested in the puppy boy. That's true. I like that. So I'm trying to say hi to everybody. Now, real quick, I had two amazing cases this week. One, sadly, I can't tell you why. First of all, they came in 3 days after the event. The dog got into some bushes and ate a ton. It's a puppy, 8 months old, and it just was not doing well. And they finally brought it in, took x-rays. You could still see a lot of stuff in the stomach. Fortunately, one of my techs knows the owner and knows the dog and said, no, this dog is not this way. Something's going on. All right. So we couldn't see. There was no gas pattern and indicative of a blockage. And that's sometimes the case. We got to be really careful. Keep our eyes open to new things or other things. Don't just go based on, usually if there was a blockage and a gas pattern, then we would go in. But we went and explored anyway. And what we found in the stomach was unbelievable. First of all, a twig that long, full of thorns. The dog got into rose bushes and there was grass and stuff in the stomach. It was a mess. We had to empty out the stomach. But also, the dog didn't do as well as we would expect it. And we ran, called the intestine. That means we went through from front to bottom, top to from the stomach all the way to the colon, and everything was normal. So the stuff never got out of the stomach. The problem was all in the stomach. But the dog just did not do well, continued to get bad, even though the stomach was emptied. So my thought was, with those thorns going down the esophagus, it probably opened up the esophagus because there was some congestion in the chest as well. And checked the diaphragm. There was maybe a diaphragmatic hernia, nothing like that. So this, unfortunately, you know, the dog really just didn't do well, even after the surgery was successful, but there was something else going on in this dog. And I think he damaged it. And you can't, I mean, esophageal surgery, first of all, that's basically, you got to go into the chest. And I leave that for the surgeons, but money was an object. And he just unfortunately did not make it. He made it through surgery, but he died the next morning. Never really came out. It was very, very sad. Next one was a cat that the guy says, I think he ate, I was sewing. He came over me and literally ate the needle, took it out of my hand. And next thing I couldn't find it, I think he swallowed it. Really? What cat is going to swallow a sewing needle that long? I mean, it's crazy. So we took x-rays and guess what? You found in the stomach, the sewing needle. Oh my God. Now that is a must open up. So open the cat up. I could feel the sewing needle and we poked through the stomach, pulled it out along with, I don't know, I mean, a clumps of thread. Who does this? How can a cat find that? Like, appetizing. The fact that this needle, speaking of the esophagus, did not puncture the esophagus is just, I mean, that is luck. And that thing sailed right through into the stomach. It's just amazing how that could have happened. The only thing I can think, maybe he got it upside down, so it went backwards. I'm hoping that's what it was. There's no way to tell. Anyway, we got it out, had to just make a little pinhole, through a pinhole. We got it, had to open it, make it a little bigger because the clump of thread was all, I couldn't get it out of the hole. We sewed the stomach up, and checked on the cat the day after surgery. Says this cat is doing well and is looking for more needles and thread. You know what? When you have pica, you just don't know what is the attraction to eating something as crazy as a needle. Or dogs that I've had batteries. I've gone into a stomach once, and there were two batteries in the stomach. Coins, swallowing coins. This is nuts. I mean, if it was a bone, I can understand. At least there's a smell. They get the meat. But to eat coins, to eat metallic objects, to eat batteries, to eat a sewing needle. I mean, I've had cats go into a garbage and get a hold of some used dental floss, big clumps of dental floss that gets in, causes obstruction, causes what we call plication. Then you got to go in. That's a disastrous surgery as well, because there, sometimes you have to make multiple enterotomies, multiple cuts in the intestines to try to get the whole thing out. And those are scary. And sometimes when that happens and there's plication, which is like this in the intestine, it can't push the thread through or the clump through because it's stuck in the stomach. So what happens is it acts like jiggly wire, like piano wire, and it literally will cut through the intestine. And that is very, very dangerous and a very poor prognosis. You got to sew it up. There's going to be a lot of bleeding, sometimes blood loss. I mean, or you're going to basically compromise the blood supply. Sometimes we have to take out a section of intestine. That's called the resection and anastomosis. I mean, these are things one of my cats is meowing. So one of my four, that's usually the one that does that, who wants to get in, because whenever I'm in this room, he's trying to get in. That's Ninja, my 13-year-old. Amazing black cat. Doesn't know he's 13. He's fantastic. So anyway, be careful with what your animals eat. If they like chewing on something and you know they do, keep it away from them. Don't let them eat that plastic. It's cute, but it's not so cute if it gets stuck somewhere. So just be really, really on the watch. Be much more aware and aggressive with what they eat. Make sure they pull it away and try to keep them away from things like, don't let them eat garbage. Like, make sure the garbage is, especially dental floss for cats. If you have a bathroom garbage and you throw it in the bathroom, make sure they have no access. Close the bathroom, whatever it takes. Because when you think about when I've pulled things, a tennis ball, one of those smaller tennis balls out of a dog's stomach, and it was a major surgery. Dog did great. As I handed them the tennis ball, I said, just this is the most expensive tennis ball you were ever going to buy. Because they get stuff and they're not going to tell us why. But they do, and you got to be really, really careful. All right. Anyway, happy Super Bowl Sunday. For those of you that are football fans, enjoy the day. Hope your team wins. And if neither of these teams is a favorite, just hopefully a really good, close, well-played game. We don't want to romp in a Super Bowl. We want it close. We want it to come down to the wire, to that last field goal, that last touchdown. And that's what makes the game exciting. So anyway, have a great day. We'll see you next week. Oh, next week, I will be coming from Cabo. I'll be back in Cabo, so my show will be live from Cabo. So we'll see you then. And everyone, as I said, have a great week, and hopefully you'll join me next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.